Greetings, this is Brother Steve with the Daily Inspiration again. I'm going to continue with Revelation chapter 2. We had talked a little bit about the first two churches there of the seven. And now we're going to go to verse 12 of chapter 2 in Revelation. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So here we have the church of Pergamos. It says that they dwelt even where Satan's seat is. I'm not sure exactly what that meant, but apparently they had some persecution. They had a faithful martyr in their midst, or they one of their number had been martyred, the way it seems. But then in verse 14, it talks about that he gives them. There's two things that he had against them. One was that they had the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. And if you know where that story comes from, it's from the book of Numbers, where the children of Israel were going through the wilderness. And Balak was the king of the Moabites. And so he had hired Balaam, as Balaam apparently was a soothsayer or a witch doctor or whatever you would call him. And he had the ability to cast curses upon people. So Balak was afraid of the children of Israel, and he hired Balaam to come and offered him great wealth if he would come and curse these people. But Balaam apparently was at least honest in his soothsaying, because he said he could not curse anything that God, except what God would let him. So anyway, he ended up three times blessing the children of Israel rather than cursing them, because God would not allow him to curse them because they were blessed. And this made Balak very angry. But then what Balaam did is he showed Balak how to make the children of Israel stumble. In other words, he showed him how to seduce them to fornication and sacrificing of idols. And he knew that if he could get them to fall into sin, then they would basically self-destruct. And so, therefore, they seduced them, and the rest of the story is that they fell into idolatry and fornication, and the people, there's a plague came, and they started dying by the thousands until, I think it was Pinhas, one of the Levites, stopped it by some pretty radical actions there. So anyway, Balaam seduced them. He couldn't curse them, but he seduced them into sin and thus made them fall that way. And the other thing there in verse 15, he talks about they also had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which we had heard before, and God says that he hates it. And in one of the earlier churches, he had commended them for having a hatred for that. I think it's the verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So it seems like God mentions this a few times. I think it's an important matter. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? And the best that I can understand here is that it was basically a ruling over. It was a leader, maybe a church leader, whatever it was, that had a controlling spirit, or he was ruling over with a heavy hand, or whatever it was. And it reminds me also of one of the things that Jesus continually kept teaching his disciples. They were constantly arguing about who's going to be greatest in this kingdom that they thought Jesus was going to set up on this earth. And it just seemed like it came up over and over again. And each time Jesus would sit them down and say, no, this is not the way it's going to be in my kingdom. You know, then Luke chapter 22, even there in the Last Supper, it came up again. Verse 23 of Luke chapter 22. Jesus had just told them that one of them is going to betray him. And 23, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Jesus had just before that had been telling them that he's going to die. And here they were continually arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And this is an argument that if you read through the Gospels, you see that continually kept coming up. There was strife among them. They were continually fighting about or arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Who's going to sit in the right hand? And even one case, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, brought their mother into the situation and asked her to request of Jesus that they would be in the right hand and the left hand. And Jesus, each time he would sit them down, he would say, verse 25, and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. And so Jesus is saying that if you want to be great, you make yourself a servant. And he actually lived that out. He lived that example. If we see back in the book of Philippians, where it talks about his humbling himself even to the point of being a servant and even to the point of dying as an evildoer. And so that's, I believe, what he's refuting here, where he's continually talking about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. He is continually reminding them that they are not to be exalting themselves above anybody else, but whoever wants to be a leader, he should become a servant. Then verse 18, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. But unto you I say, and unto the rest at Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here we have the church of Thyatira, and you know, this is one of the churches, I believe, that he has nothing good to say about them. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. In the very beginning, he says, I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. But then he talks about the woman that, the woman Jezebel, he calls her, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. And we look at that, the woman Jezebel, you know, the only other place where we read about Jezebel is in the Old Testament. Jezebel was the wicked queen of Ahab, and she was she had basically seduced the people of God to commit fornication and to commit idolatry, whatever, and she was the one that wanted to kill was it Elijah, after he had that confrontation with the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. And so a little bit like the other, like Balaam, she was also a seducer. We also see how she was a manipulator in the Ahab's wife. She saw that Ahab was sad one morning, and she wondered what was wrong. And well, he had wanted a vineyard that was there next to his palace somewhere, I guess. And it was Nabu or something like that. Nabu, I forget what the man's name was. And so she said, well, she's going to have it. He should not be sad that he should have it. And so she basically made a story up about this man and had him killed, and then took the vineyard for Ahab. So that's the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of seduction, idolatry, fornication. But also the spirit of deception, you know, there in the case of Nabu. Then he talks about, in the end here, he talks about, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. Now that sounds like something that we read of Jesus. You know, there again, we were talking earlier about how Jesus left an example for us of how, of being a servant rather than, you know, being a forceful ruler. And it says there in Philippians that God, because of that, he gave him a position that is higher than any other position. Now he, another place we also read about ruling with a rod of iron. And so I believe that's actually talking about Jesus overcoming. Jesus was our leader, our example of overcoming, but he's also giving that example for us to follow. So we'll end there for this time. God bless you all.